Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Easter service this morning. We're going to start by singing Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Let's stand and sing.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Sons of men and angels say, Alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs high, Alleluia. Sing ye hymns, thou earth reply, Alleluia. Love's redeeming work is done, the battle won, Alleluia. Though our sun's eclipse is o'er, Alleluia. Though he saves him but no more, Alleluia.
Thank you. I'll take the blame for that and bad communication. Thought it would never end for a minute there. Welcome to our Easter morning service. Our Lord is risen. So we're here to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and to meditate on what it means to us. We're going to see three scenes of resurrection played out, in the hope that we can learn from this as we watch the evidence of a risen Jesus and understand, most importantly, that he is with us now. So he's with us through this service and watching over what the people do. So I pray that you will all benefit from hearing God's voice this morning. Interspersed between the scenes will be some more hymns. Some of these will come up on the screen, or the music will start without introduction. So when you see that happening, please stand and sing the hymn. At the end, Andrew Harvey will close with an epilogue. So you're all very welcome to our service this morning. I hope you benefit from it. Special welcome to all the visitors. And we have our own wee personal resurrection story this morning. Our dear friend Robin Downey is back with us in the congregation this morning, and many of us thought that that might never happen, so it is such a pleasure and privilege to see him here. Welcome all. Let's stand again and sing "Crown Him with Many Crowns."
Music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy chosen king through all eternity. Crown him the Son of God before the world began, and ye who tread where he hath trod, crown him the Son of Man, who every grief hath known that wrings the human breast, and takes and bears them for his own, that all in him may rest. Crown him the Lord of life, who
had been a supper.
Like a burn supper.
This was 30 AD. Robert Burns hadn't been invented yet.
It was the last supper.
Until the burn suppers.
No, it was the last supper that Jesus would share with his disciples.
What was the food like?
Certainly unleavened bread and wine. The rest is guesswork. Could have been wheat and barley, maybe olive oil. Could have been some lamb, but some say that Jesus was the picture of the lamb, and the sacrifice was not yet made.
So there was going to be a sacrifice.
The reason we know that there was bread and wine at the supper was because Jesus used it as a symbol of his sacrifice to come.
Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body."
Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins."
So he knew what was going to happen.
He did, and it was all part of God's plan. He predicted that Judas, one of his disciples, would betray him, and he predicted that Peter, one of his most loyal disciples, would deny him.
Did that happen?
Yes, it did. They went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus prayed that if he could avoid the suffering, God should take it from him, but that if it was God's will, he would go through it.
Wow, so he was really scared about what was going to happen.
Wouldn't you be, if you knew?
I suppose so.
The Bible says he was comforted, but it seems clear that he had to go on.
Judas betrayed him to the Jewish authorities, identifying him to the guards. They arrested Jesus.
It was then that Peter denied him. His fear of being arrested got the better of him. When he realized what he had done, he was distraught, broken.
Hard to understand why someone like Peter would fall so badly.
Jesus was mocked and beaten by the guards.
Then he was questioned by the Jewish leaders.
They passed him on to the Romans because only the Romans could execute people, and they wanted rid of Jesus. They made false accusations against him.
Pilate didn't know what to do with Jesus, so he sent him to King Herod.
Jesus would not answer Herod, and Herod mocked him and handed him back to Pilate.
Sounds like political ping pong.
Yes, but with brutal consequences.
Pilate tried to release Jesus, but the crowd demanded crucifixion.
Pilate released Barabbas, a rebel fighter, instead, and sent Jesus to be executed.
Jesus was taken to the hill outside Jerusalem, known as the Skull, and crucified.
Luke writes in his Gospel, "It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, 'Father, in your hands I commit my spirit.' When he had said this, he breathed his last."
There were many witnesses who saw this. Luke writes again, "But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things."
Joseph of Arimathea took Jesus' body and buried it in a tomb cut into the rock with the opening covered by a stone, rolled over like a sort of door.
The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one that Jesus loved, and said, So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first.
He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in.
Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw that the strips of linen lying there, as well as a cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head.
The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed.
"He's gone."
They still did not understand the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead.
Then the disciples went back to where they were staying.
Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot.
"Woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him."
"Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?"
Thinking this was the gardener.
Mary told the disciples all that Jesus had said to her.
Now to the slaughter in silence and shame. There on your back you carried a world of violence and pain, bleeding, dying, bleeding, dying. You're alive, you're alive, you have risen. Hallelujah. And the power and the glory is given. Hallelujah.
About 7 miles from Jerusalem.
They were talking with each other about everything that had happened.
As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself.
As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further.
Stay with us, for it's nearly evening, the day is almost over.
So Jesus stayed and went with them to the inn where they were staying. There they sat down to their evening meal.
Take this. This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat.
They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying,
"It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon."
Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognizing them when he broke the bread.
In me shall not thirst. No one can come to me unless the Father draw him, and I will raise him up, and I will raise him up, and I will raise him up on the of the world, and he who eats of this bread, he shall live forever, he shall live forever, and I will raise him up, and I will raise him up, and I will raise him up on the
everyone. We're going to have family communion together now. We've heard about the Last Supper when wine and bread were shared, and we've seen the little meal of the two disciples with Jesus on their way to Emmaus when bread and wine were shared. Very simple things. Things that we do every day. Perhaps we don't have wine with every single meal we drink. But eating and drinking are part of what we do, and if we're in families, we do so together. Lots of times to celebrate, as we do today, the most amazing things that happened that we've seen narrated and enacted out for us. And they happened only once, but with everlasting importance. Christ died for our sins and rose again in triumph. Hallelujah. So we're going to have this little meal together, and all are welcome, from the oldest to the youngest, to participate. No one is excluded. I was on the welcome desk and met some people coming in, visitors to our church today, and we are very pleased to have you with us, and you're welcome to participate in this little meal with us together. Everyone It's a solemn occasion, but it's not somber. We're remembering a terrible death, but we're also doing it in the context of today, which is Easter's resurrection. Jesus lives. I'll give thanks in a moment. Can I just try to describe how we should proceed? You can see on the table in front of us, we're in four sections here. So if you could proceed towards the corner of the table that corresponds to the section you're seated in, we might manage this without too much difficulty. Please take a piece of bread, and the wine is already pre-poured into a small glass for you. If I could ask that you move through reasonably briskly, I'm sorry to be so mundane, but it's just necessary for us to be organized. If there are some people near to you that you think might have difficulty getting to the table and back to their seats in the time, would you please try to serve them in the seat in which they're presently seated? And it will not proceed with absolute clockwork precision, but that doesn't matter. And I'll just leave each section to manage, subject to those little rules, as best you can. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for Easter. We eat this bread together to remember your life while here on earth, caring, and teaching, welcoming, especially welcoming to little children. And we drink this wine to remember your death, so frightening and so lonely. And we eat and drink together on this Easter morning, to celebrate our living Saviour, Jesus, risen from the dead, and may he live in our hearts forever. Amen. Thank you. We're going to sing the song now. It will come up on the screen. Make me a channel of your peace.
Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's drought, true faith in you. O Master, grant that I may never see to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. When there's despair in life, let me bring hope. There is darkness, only light. And where there's sadness, ever joy. Oh, Master, grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, in giving of ourselves that we receive, and in dying that we're born to eternal life.
Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee.
Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two other disciples were together.
Go on, we'll get some fish.
So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing.
Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus.
Friends, haven't we any fish?
No.
Throw your nets on the right side of the boat. You'll find some.
When they did, they were unable to hold the net in because of the large number of fish.
Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter,
as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him and jumped into the water.
The other disciples followed into the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals, there with fish on it and some bread.
Bring some of the fish you've caught. Come, have breakfast.
None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead.
Thank you.
Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God.
Follow me.
Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear. Relieved, how precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me.
To you all. We've just watched three little dramas in the Easter service, in the Easter story. And there's three things that I think we can take from that. There's a surprise, a plan, and a job for us to do. Firstly, a surprise. I wonder what the biggest surprise you've ever had. Perhaps a party you weren't expecting. A gift, a visitor coming to your house. None of them really compared to the surprise that Mary received that first Easter Sunday. In fact, it was a whole series of surprises
first she arrives and found the stone that was immovable has gone. And then the body of Jesus has disappeared. Then she meets an angel, not an everyday occurrence. And then Jesus. No one who has seen a dead body expects it to be alive 2 days later. That's a bit of a surprise. Something's a bit different. And then there's a plan. Jesus met with two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And as the scripture says, he explained basically the Old Testament and showed that Jesus dying and rising again wasn't some kind of magic conjuring trick that God did just to make us impressed with him, but actually it was all part of a plan, a cosmic plan put in place from the beginning of time. This plan puts us right with God, and in doing so, we can start to put the world to rights, just as God the Creator intended. And then there's a job to do. Peter must have felt pretty silly. This is the man that promised he would go anywhere with Jesus, and then when things got tough, he denied him. Now Jesus is alive, and Peter will be pleased, but I'm sure a bit of him is thinking, I've blown my big chance, really. But not a bit of it. Jesus restores Peter, and he gives him a job. Feed my sheep. Does that mean? Well, it really means we've got to bring the news of Jesus to the whole world. And Jesus says to Peter, I'm going to build my church on you. And that's us, 2,000 years later, built upon the rock, the foundation that Jesus established. So we've been given this job. We have to pass the message that has been passed down through the centuries on. The message is this: we are right with God, and the world is a new place. And when we say that Jesus is risen, we mean all the badness that we've done is put to one side. God's in charge of this world. And we who are loved by him are to tell the world this great news. So let us now together all say and affirm this wonderful truth. Christ is risen. Amen. We're now going to sing our final hymn, Thine Be the Glory. And please keep standing at the end for a small benediction. Thank you. May the God of peace, who raised from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, provide us with every good thing we need in order to do his will, and the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen.